Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of the Faith to Go podcast, your one-stop shop for everything you need to have faith discussions throughout your week with your friends and with your family. My name is David Tremaine, and I'm the digital resource curator for Faith to Go.
And I'm Charlotte Pressler, and I'm the youth missioner for the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego.
And welcome back to the podcast, everyone, for this week leading up to Sunday, June 12th, which is also the first Sunday after Pentecost, which is also Trinity Sunday.
That's right.
It's our one day of the year.
It's three in one.
Three in one. It is. Wow. That's the podcast, everyone. Thanks for listening.
And scene.
That is so true. And so we are, we're going to hear from Jesus about the Holy Spirit and the Father and himself in a very short gospel reading today. But this Sunday, you'll probably hear a lot of talk about the Trinity and the mystery of the Trinity and the threeness and oneness, the non-dual core of the Christian tradition, which is how I like to think about it.
Mm.
So we are going to get into the gospel discussion soon, but first we have two different listener voicemails to talk about. One of them is our God sighting for this week, and then another one is a reflection on one of the most recent episodes. So first, we are going to hear from a wonderful listener named Claire, who called in to share about her experience of listening to Faith to Go this week and just some things going on in her life and how she sees God moving in the world.
Yes, my name is Claire, and I just wanted to say I enjoyed hearing the podcast, the Faith to Go podcast this morning. I have been able to go to church. I fractured my shoulder a couple weeks ago, so I'm still recovering from that. But it was nice to hear the podcast, knowing that, you know, Jesus is still out there providing support. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Claire, for sharing that. And yeah, Jesus is just out there.
I really like that reflection. It truly is a God sighting, and it's a reminder that even when we are at home, no matter what we are doing, that there's an opportunity to watch God moving in all of the things.
Yeah. So thank you, Claire. And we would also always love to hear from you if you have a God sighting. And you can, just like Claire did, send us a voicemail. And just like our next listener voicemail, Hannah Wilder did this past week, she left us a voicemail talking about the Holy Spirit conversation that we had with Jeff Martin Hawk. I think this was 2-3 weeks ago, maybe. But Hannah had some reflections on first the story that Jeff shared about what happened here with the car accident at the diocese, but also just about a quote that she read about the Holy Spirit and the challenge of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So take it away, Hannah.
Hi, this is Hannah Wilder, and it was so good to hear Jeff Martin Hawk, the Reverend Canon Jeff Martin Hawk on the Faith to Go podcast this week, and I appreciated his contributions. And I never thought about the Holy Spirit being plumbing, but that's great. And also just wanted to say I hope that man who got hit by the car is all right and that the person driving the car would take responsibility. And that's so good that, you know, there was a caring community that formed in that moment of crisis. That's just crazy. And then I did come across a really great quote, I thought, about the Holy Spirit. It's from Shirley C. Guthrie. And she said, "When the Spirit breaks in, old ways of thinking and living are left behind, and new ways of thinking and living begin to take over. Old, boring, oppressive, and dead social structures and institutions are transformed into exciting, new, liberating ones. It may not happen all at once, but when the Holy Spirit comes, there is the dawn of a new day, hope for a new and different future, and courage and strength to move toward it." And I just thought that is what the church needs so much, and I see that happening in many churches in our diocese, and I'm just so excited to embrace the movement of the Holy Spirit this week, even though it also scares me. So I loved all the points from all the contributors, and just want to say thank you for a great podcast, as always. Bye.
All right, and thank you to Hannah Wilder again. Just a very consistent voice.
I appreciate Hannah's voice.
Yeah.
I do.
And her mail.
And her support.
And her support. Ongoing support. She is Holy Spirit-like in her ongoing support and voice.
Are you saying that Hannah is like the plumbing that runs underneath Faith to Go?
Yes. She connects everything, really. You think it's us, but it's actually Hannah. All right. So that what Hannah said is actually a great lead into our gospel discussion mm-hmm. today. But before we get into that, I want to remind you all that we would love to hear from you, just like we heard from Claire and from Hannah. You can send us a voicemail because we've got a number that you can call to leave voicemails or to text a message. You can also email us. You can follow us and send us a direct message on Instagram or tag us in a post. And you can also contact us through the Faith to Go website, where you can also find all of those Faith to Go resources, which come out every week and help you facilitate reflection for yourself, a conversation with your family, or small group discussions. So we'd love to hear from you. You can find all of those ways of getting in contact with us in the description to this episode. And now we're going to talk about the gospel for this upcoming Sunday, Trinity Sunday, which is Sunday, June 12th, the first Sunday after Pentecost. And so Charles is going to read it, and then I'll give some context, then we'll each have a point. The gospel is John 16, verses 12 to 15.
Jesus said to the disciples, "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Also, when we transition out of the Gospel of John, I would like a gold star. It is very difficult to read aloud from the Gospel of John.
It's true.
The readers need to know that.
Yeah. This, like, dialogue, this one-way dialogue of Jesus is, like, is just peak John mm-hmm. confusing language
mm-hmm. and pronouns.
That's why it's confusing. Mm-hmm. Not partially the content, but just partially the way that it's written and said. So as Charlotte said, we are still
in John, so
this is chapter 16. We are towards the very end of his farewell discourses now, but you know, which it's just been, it's very confusing because we've been jumping back and forth a bit. Mm-hmm. 13, 16, 17, mm-hmm. 14, 15. It's very weird. But we have this, and then one, you know, the rest of chapter 16, and then chapter 17 is Jesus's prayer for his disciples, and then he leaves, betrayal, arrest. So we're towards like the latter half, but not quite the end. But it's just the same, you know it. I don't have to tell you any more about it. Like it's just Jesus talking about, what's going to happen when he's gone. Preparing his disciples for that transition, which we talked a lot about last week and have been talking about for a while. But the thing, this is a gospel for Trinity Sunday simply because Jesus is, he's not, there's, we've heard parts where he's saying, "I am in you and you are in me and I am in the Father." Mm-hmm. And he's had parts where he said, "The Father will send the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of truth will do this and the Advocate will do this and this, that, and the other thing." And here it's kind of all tying together to say the Spirit of truth will come and guide you. But mostly this last line, "All the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said the Spirit of truth will take what is mine and declare it to you." And so it's kind of this like tying together all three of these persons mm-hmm. of the Trinity and saying kind of this is like a glimpse at the relationship of that threeness in oneness. And I said the thing about non-duality before because it's that, like, essentially, like, we don't really have good language to hold, to completely explain this mystery of the Trinity, of God's threeness and oneness. And so I think that I, from my perspective, and Richard Rohr says a similar thing, is like, this is kind of like our way into the, it's just another way of into, like, the mystery of God, of saying, like, you know, God isn't three gods. God is one God, but also there's this like multiplicity in God. There's also this relationality within God. There's also this dynamism within God. And so it's kind of all those ways into kind of like giving more texture to what we how we think of God, but also God as ultimate mystery, you know, and kind of immanence and transcendence and just the way that multiple things can be true that seem like they shouldn't be true at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that has something, I think, to say about truth. And that's what we're going to get into now. So we're going to talk about the spirit of truth. I feel the need to say something about language here.
Okay.
I don't think this is going to encroach on your point. It's just about the pronouns.
All right, go ahead.
Because the Holy Spirit here is, the pronoun used here is he.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that the word spirit in Greek has, like, Greek has gendered endings, like a lot of Latin languages. We don't really have gendered conjugating and declining in English, but Greek does. And so this noun, spirit, is technically a neuter noun. It's neither masculine nor feminine. The word truth is a feminine noun.
Mm.
Truth is not a female concept necessarily, but it's just like a grammatical reality of the language. So the gender of the words is not symbolic necessarily of the gender of the thing that it is talking about. God is a masculine word, but that doesn't mean God is masculine or male. Mm. Really, when it says spirit of truth, it should be it.
Mm.
Instead of he, because spirit is a neuter noun.
Or they.
Exactly. So, I mean, I cannot find a translation where it says anything other than he for spirit. Mm. And I've been trying to find one. But I just wanted to say that. So even in this thing, we have a spirit, which is neuter, truth, which is feminine, you know. So it's like, it's not as straightforward as this. Not the whole Godhead is not masculine. I wanted to say that very clearly. And it's also not that way in Greek. Right. But it is that way in English when it's translated.
Mm-hmm.
Take it away. Point number one, Charlotte.
I don't know. This could be point number two now.
Okay.
maybe you just had your point. But mine does talk a little bit about the spirit. But specifically, I want to lean into it from where Jesus starts with that he has a lot more things to say to them, but that we cannot bear them now. And he's talking to the disciples specifically. And I know that I just said we cannot bear them now because I do tend to relate to the disciples. Sometimes I feel like I have had all I can bear of John's gospel. Mm-hmm. No, I'm kidding. no, but there is a certain level of bandwidth that each of us has. And I think that using that word instead of bear brings it into a current context for many of us, especially as we are coming out of pandemic lifestyle, that you can probably think in your own life how many times that you have used the word I don't have, or the phrase I don't have the bandwidth for that. Mm-hmm. Or how many people you have interacted with either personally or in a professional setting or at the grocery store who have just said I don't have the bandwidth for that. Mm-hmm. I am at maximum capacity. I have added all of the things that I can possibly accomplish or take care of, and one more thing would be too many things, and this fragile string that is my spirit, not the spirit, but my spirit, mm-hmm. would snap. I cannot do anymore. And I think that not only is that true that we can think of when people have said that to us, but I also think it is true that we can identify it within each other, that we can look at people and realize when they are at maximum capacity and we know not to ask them for help with a project that we are working on or to process through something that we are struggling with, that we can identify, especially in the people that we are closest to, when they have had all they can bear, that they are at maximum bandwidth. And I think that that's very true of how Jesus is addressing the disciples right now, that after everything that they have been through and everything that they have watched, everything that they have seen, everything that is coming, he is just clearly naming to them that you cannot take any more right now. There is more. There is more to tell you. There is more that you need to know. In fact, the next sentence, it says that the Spirit will guide you into all the truth. In our current context, that would probably be written in a text message in all capital letters, right? That word all, A-L-L, implying that there is so much of it that we still have to know and that Jesus still needs us to know. But that the disciples cannot at that point, that they have had all that they can. But Jesus doesn't want to leave them with a feeling of hopelessness, of saying you've had all that you can take, you can't bear any more, and there's still so much you need to know, but too bad. see you later. So instead offers this comfort of the Spirit of Truth is coming, and the Spirit of Truth will make sure that you know all of the things. And I'm grateful for that, because when I consider how that happens, it's not an information dump. It's not that the Spirit arrives on Pentecost Sunday and when the tongues of flame alight on their head and they start speaking in tongues, that all of a sudden they have all of the truth, all of the knowledge that they're ever going to need in that moment. It's not a magic wand. Mm. Nor could they probably have bore that either. Mm-hmm. The reality is that when I think about the Holy Spirit in my own personal life, that those truths, all of those truths that come to us, they come to us either when we are ready or when we are open or when the need is just so great that they have to arrive. Mm-hmm. And those are different places in my life, depending on what I am dealing with or I am carrying in it. In fact, I can think of countless times in my life where I can clearly feel the Spirit moving in them. And sometimes that Spirit is moving, is shoving me towards something, or dragging me towards something, when I'm having like a kicking and screaming moment. And sometimes I don't even notice that the Spirit was moving in it until after whatever it was has happened. And then so clearly I can see the Spirit in all of it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important for us to notice, that sometimes when we are seeking something, it can feel elusive or overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And that really in those moments when we need truth and when we need clarity, it requires an openness from us in order to receive it. And I'm thinking about that, not even just when it comes to the Spirit, but also just thinking about all of the prophetic voices. We've spent a lot of time talking about that, and prophetic voices tell truth, right? Like they speak truth to power. They speak truth to injustice. They speak truth that sometimes we're not ready to hear. But if we can open ourselves, and maybe you're not ready to open yourself all the way. Maybe you're not ready to like crack open and be fully vulnerable in the moment. But if you can crack open a little bit to someone else's truth, to someone else's reality, that in that moment that you allow that prophetic voice to come in, but also the Spirit of Truth to weave into your own life and connect you to another person. Okay. And I really appreciate that opportunity, because for me, I'm not somebody who ever feels 100% certain all the time. And knowing that there's always an opportunity to understand better or more deeply and another opportunity further down the line gives me hope for myself and for the world. Because sometimes I can look at the world and be like, oh, we are broken. we have some serious issues that we need to resolve here. But knowing that, especially as Jesus names it in this, speaking to the disciples and probably speaking to all of us, that you have had all that you can bear, but that the Spirit of Truth is coming and will bring you all of the truth. And knowing that that happens over the course of your lifetime, over the course of all of our lifetimes, that might be the message that we need to hear.
Yeah, and I think that goes into mine. And I think it's what struck me in this gospel is the wealth in these just three verses, just how much like relational and communication, relationship-based and communication-based language is used. You know, like there's multiple words for like communicating, for giving and receiving in communication, you know? And so there's this word, bearing something. It's not just listening, it's like bearing and holding it, so that the truth is like something that we carry with us that has weight to it. So I love that kind of like concept that we're kind of like, I like that because it gives a little bit more of a textured feel to what it's like to be the truth to be declared to you by the Spirit, that it's not passive, and it requires lifting on our part. you know, like there is like work to do because of it, you know. And the kind of unfolding nature of it, because Jesus is talking about something that's ongoing, and that there's words like, there's not just speak, but there's also declare, two different words. There's say, different word. There's bear and hear. And so I'm struck by that kind of like word cloud of relational communicative language. And then I'm thinking back to, I guess it was actually that plumbing episode that Hannah was talking about, where Jesus says what does the Spirit of Truth do? The Spirit of Truth reminds you of what I've said and teaches you in the future, you know? That is the function of truth, because it's like you're taking these fundamental kind of foundational concepts that Jesus gave them, handed on to them, you know, like this basic worldview of the kingdom, right? Of equality and liberation, knowing that things right now, this is why it's important for us, because things, when Jesus is speaking, is a totally different world right now than it was then, and yet the strands of that reality are still in existence, so that the Holy Spirit's function is for us to be able to take what Jesus said and read it and understand how to apply it now in such a different time. And so like the weight of that is that like it gives us the, like, what is Jesus handing on to them? Like, what is Jesus passing on to them that they can't bear? It's like they couldn't possibly like understand what the world is going to be like for all the people that are going to come after them. You know, they couldn't even understand what the world's going to be like for the rest of their lives. So it's like, even if Jesus had told them, it's just like this. I just like the idea that like the truth is in process because the people are in process. So that, like you, like you're saying, like the truth emerges and is like revealed to us as we're capable of seeing it. You know, that there's something kind of constant and foundational and like stable about it, and yet also fluid. And I think that is part of the what's cool about the Trinity, is that like you have this like very stable figure of the Father, and then you have like this like relational particularity of the Son, of like the incarnation of God, and then the fluid like unfolding reality of the Spirit that is like this connecting force. And so I just love that idea that like the relational language says to me that like the Spirit of Truth is something that we only know in a back and forth with other people, in a back and forth with the world and reality, and a back and forth with ourselves. And so Jesus is talking about this last line, and also just thinking back to all those things you said about like I am in you and you and me and abiding, and like there is this interior reality of the Holy Spirit and the interior dynamism of our lives, the external dynamism of our lives, and just like between us and creation, and then the dynamism of relationship with like all these different parts of creation relating with one another. And how like that creates that the truth is only revealed in that kind of dynamic relating. So the Spirit of Truth works when we are saying and receiving, when we're declaring and hearing. You know, these words ring true for me. Is like when someone shares a truth with me about themselves, I feel like I am holding something that has weight to it. I feel like when the truth of like of a big system of the world, you know, like of some sort of system that's just like of injustice, that injustice, we feel the weight of that, because when the truth of what's going on is revealed in the world, we carry that with us. You know, it is a weight to bear. And then I think also when we take the time to be in relationship with ourselves in that kind of open-ended, unfolding way. Like we are recognizing the kind of weight that we're carrying, you know, and that is something to bear as well. So I like that the idea is that, like, not just that the Spirit reveals the truth that we then have to bear, but then the Spirit helps us to bear that truth as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus is like, I can't tell you now, but the Spirit will show you. But also the Spirit is an advocate. So the Spirit also helps you bear it, you know. So there's just like this, all this dynamic, multifaceted work of the Spirit. And when we can recognize that in one another and in ourselves, then we're, you know, open to that revelation of truth in the world. So I believe we move back into Luke next week. But before we talk about next week, let's wrap it up.
Yes.
And do a quick recap of our points. Point number one was Charlotte's, and just the idea of being able to bear things at certain different things at certain times in our lives, being cracked open, and that like relational energy of the Spirit of truth, and being able to admit when there's things that we can bear and when there's things that we can't. Jesus is really cool in being attuned to what his deep, dearest friends can and cannot bear. I think that's also an invitation to us to be like attuned to our people and to ourselves.
Mm-hmm. You know?
And then mine was similar and followed from that, which was the kind of relational ongoing reality of truth and the weight of truth, and our choice to bear it or to deny it, I guess. So having heard those 2 points, we'd love to hear from you. What would your third point have been for these 3 verses in John 16? How do you feel about the farewell discourse? Would you like to hear more of it or less of it? Just kidding. We'll be in Luke next week talking about the Gospel for Proper 7, which is June 19th. And our special guest will be the Reverend Daniel McMillan, who is a deacon in the diocese and is a deacon at St. Andrew's by the Sea Episcopal Church in Pacific Beach, as well as the person that you see when you walk in the door at the Episcopal Diocese of San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
So he has a lot of roles in this place, and we're going to hear from him and pick his brain about the gospel for next week. And until then, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.